Would you open your Bible to Psalm 103? As I mentioned, Psalm 103 is chosen for today's text in light of our first day at the new facility. And we are choosing this sweet number, Psalm 103, in light of Psalm 103. And as I mentioned, we won't be able to dig into it really deep today. So I want us to get an overview. Let's begin with the title of the message, sermon itself. It's called, I entitled it, A Threefold Call to Bless the Lord. And that's in several meanings to that. And obviously, verse 1 and 2, there are three self-command to Saul. King David's own soul, and saying basically, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is in me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Three times. There's a threefold call to bless the Lord. That's a one meaning of that. But if you look at the entire psalm, verse 1 through 5 is almost intro to the psalm, setting the theme. And then verse 6 through all the way to verse 19 is the reasons for blessing the Lord. And he goes into, digs out of that really personal experience. And look at verse 20. It starts with a self-command. Bless the Lord, O my soul, right? But if you look at the progression through that, he ends with whole universe. Not only whole universe, he will say, bless the Lord, all you, his angels. Bless the Lord, all his hosts. Bless the Lord, all his works. And he closed back on himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. There's another sense. In the Western culture, verse 1 through 5 is very applicable and relevant. We like this. This is one of the favorite psalms of many people because it's quite personalized. David's personal. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits. Forget not all his benefits, right? But if you look at verse 6, the first person pronoun is changing to the we and us and basically his own community. The experience of Israelites. And he's referred to Exodus a lot. And he, in other words, not only his generation, but his forefathers. So he starts with, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then, bless the Lord, our community, all our souls. And lastly, bless the Lord, our heavenly host, the whole creatures of God. Threefold call to bless the Lord. And let's remember this, that it is starts with the self-command. Bless the Lord. The question that we need to start with is, what does it mean to bless the Lord? Because when you think about, you know, bless me, Father, or bless, you know, we give you blessing. So, blesser gives some kind of aid or benefit in such a way that person gets better off with that blessing. So we receive blessings from God. We receive blessings from our parents. We blessings from our mentors and friends and community. But is it same way? No, it is not same way. When we bless the Lord, it doesn't make God better off in any way or strengthen God with bestowing our goodness and help. In the same way that when we magnify the Lord or exalt the Lord, God is already perfect and good in all ways. You know what that means? When we actually say, magnify the Lord. So God is small, so we need to make it big. So that's like a microscope kind of concept, right? That's not what Bible is talking about. But there is a different kind of magnification. The universe is whole lot bigger and grandeur than us. Stars, you know how big stars are. And they use these languages that we can't even fathom how big they are. So think about, you know, the astronomers using the AU, the size of the distance between Earth and Sun, to measure that. And light years, it's just, you know, so much of unthinkable things from our regular mind, day-to-day basis. But when you put a telescope, what our puny eyes cannot see, because of our own limitation, we could see the big things. When we say magnify the Lord, it's in the same way. John Piper is so right on that, that we actually help ourselves and our others around us to see how great God is, already God is. In the same way, when we bless God, we're not actually making him better off, but we are actually seeing how source of blessing he is. In the same way, when we exalt the Lord, do we make him go higher than what he already is? Of course not. But we acknowledge and we worship and adore that. Turn to the meaning to positively. It is to say to bless the Lord is almost the same thing as we praise the Lord or glorify the Lord and glorify God's goodness and holy attributes. And to put it very succinctly, to bless the Lord means to speak well of God with what is most appropriate for him, our utmost absolute adoration and praise. Okay, this so far, I think you followed me pretty well. You have no questions whatsoever. And you are even nodding in your mind. I could see that. You know what the challenge is for us? Especially, I want to challenge people who are introverted and people who are nonverbal person, thinking that, yeah, I do that inside. And I'm going to prove it to you today. And I feel one of the most convicting thing and challenging thing studying this psalm was this aspect. You know, it's not only David, but so many various of psalmists talks about their mouth when they talk about blessing. Psalm 34, verse 1. This is David's psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, not in my thoughts. Psalm 51 verse 15. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Psalm 89 verse 1. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. One more. Psalm 145 verse 21. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Question for you. When was last time you used your mouth to spoke well of him and lift his qualities out of your heart? And even this process, right? I agree heartily about a lot of difficulties Song felt. It's a hard life sometimes. But when we think about what God has done for us each day, for our kids and for our family, but ultimately for eternity, what he has done on the cross and grace and resurrection and new life that he's given us and community that he's given us. Every day, we should open our mouth and lift up what he has done for us. So, for the remainders of time, I want to look at the whole psalm and ask this particular question. What are the reasons for and ramification of blessing the Lord? And there are four things at least through this psalm. So here's the first one. We are to bless the Lord because our souls so easily forget God's benefits. This is a universal truth for all human beings. It doesn't take a wicked person to forget because of our fallen heart. Because of fallenness in us, it is our natural tendency to forget what God has done. And in a sense, we could sense that too, right? You know, what we get every dinner time, what wives do or husbands do, you know, vice versa. We take it for granted. It's easy to forget. So when you think about your kid, you know, sometimes gives you a hard time and they're just annoying and, you know, takes so much of energy out of you. And all of a sudden something happens to them slightly, health-wise or accident or something happens. Your heart drops and you just want, all you want is your baby. Even more so, unseen God in our relationship. In the beginning, we feel like this is what God really did. But all of a sudden, we easily forget. That's a natural tendency. Look at verse 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Starting verse 3, he listed out his benefits. See if you could name six of them. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like eagles? If left alone, our soul becomes forgetful, complacent, and ungrateful. So this is what David is doing. My mouth is going to bless the Lord. I'm going to speak and sing God's holy name and whatever He has done for me and His trustworthy characters, attributes. But so I need to cooperate. Okay, you're grumpy now. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Once is not enough. Bless the Lord, all that is in me. In a way, I think I hear my own saying in the parenthesis. I don't want to be a hypocrite. This is what we should do when we are singing at church. Instead of thinking that worship leaders or some kind of music is lifted up and entertain us so that we could kind of sing better, we should speak to our soul and command, preach to our soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And at least three times, threefold call. In this sense, a spiritually healthy person blesses God intentionally and habitually. Here's another way of saying it. When you want to know how healthy you are, the doctors ask you about your appetite or blood pressure or your countenance or your tongue or whatever that symptoms that doctors look at as health sign or unhealthy signs. Blessing the Lord is a definitely spiritual vitality sign, health sign. Have you spoken well of God past week about our community, what He's doing? Have you spoken well of God for His mercies for you in your marriage, for your kids? In light of this Lent season, have you spoken well of God's mercy and forgiveness, His sacrificial atoning work on the cross for us? Brothers and sisters at Crossway, let us not wait for the feelings. It ought to be the other way around. We are to command our souls and emotions to be under control and submission of our decision and commitment to God. That's what it means to walk with God daily. Here's the second thing. We are to bless the Lord because of who God is beyond His benefits for us. There are six benefits He just listed. Did I mention that? Forgiveness, healing, redemption, steadfast love. That steadfast love is very kind of noticeable ones for Hebrews. It's hesed, the word hesed. The hesed is covenant love. God, you know, we walked through the Genesis series in Abraham's covenant. God makes covenant. He never breaks His promises. And His steadfast love is everlasting, loving kindness. He puts His entire weight in that covenant. And His love is steady, like a rock. He never changes. His headset is one of the benefits we have. And satisfaction. You know, I don't know what you've been doing for Lent. You know, I've been fasting lunch, but every dinner, I'm just having a, you know, satisfaction. Every dinner tastes, whatever cake gives me, I'm so thankful and grateful. Maybe too thankful, so I eat too much a little bit. And renewal of gratitude, your youth, your youthfulness will be preserved. You will act and live like a young man and young woman. Even as you're aging, your spirit and your body will be like that of an eagle, soaring. That's a benefit. But I need to mention this too. These are not conceptual things that David mentions. These are the things that he experienced himself. Okay, once again, starts with the benefit, but he turns to the source of the benefit, who God is. Look at this. Verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repays us according to our iniquities. Basically, what he does is that he takes the benefits and reflect on it, thanking God and blessing God for it. And that turns to the source, the benefactor himself. And this is what we ought to do. So just imagine your son or your daughter received a Christmas gift and they're grateful, but they don't want to spend time with you. They don't want to look at you. But that lousy $50 gift. But mom and dad is actually the source of the gift. Even as a limited people, we do that. But sometimes our mentality is that we just want the good things and for God to go away. Leave us alone. Obviously, those are some, misconceived mind about his attributes. But at the same time, it's our distorted view of God. And lack of faith comes from that. Look at what David does. He goes to, he's experienced not only personally now as a benefit, who God is. He draws from his Israelites, his forefathers' Exodus experiences. And God showed up to Moses. Totally. He didn't have to do that. It was grace. You know, there are so many things God has done for us. Not because we are lovable, more lovable, and not because we deserve it, but because of his great, tender, loving kindness toward us. His grace. Then we ought to think about the attributes of God. Do I really believe God is everlastingly good? Then when things are not as going as well, when life is tough, like we all identify with some life stage right now, if pastor feels great when there is no home group, you know, that says a lot about it. Because when people are coming over, it takes about 1 hour, 1 hour, 15 minutes of just going around. Sunday afternoon is a tiring time. But bigger picture is what God is doing in our lives. Who God is. God is not a distant policeman who's waiting to give you a ticket. He's merciful. Sorry about to us. So I would like to encourage you, whatever we have experienced in terms of God's provision, including new people, I really wholeheartedly agree with you, Jenny. The new people have such a high energy. Takashi, you know, Sam and Patty. And we're a little afraid that to give you any kind of work right now because we want you to stay for a long time. But they're volunteering for it. But at the same time, we ought to turn our attention to who God is. If your non-Christian friend, very close non-Christian friend, comes up to you and asks this question, don't tell me what God did for you. Tell me about why you could trust God. Who God is. Tell me about His attribute. Can you honestly say some of the things from your experience? And rather than conceptual doctrine on the page of our church doctrinal statement, can you say God is sovereign? No matter what happens in my life, in my family's life, can you say God is good? Can you say God changes not? So as we take attention and focus on who God is, as well as what God has done, it's actually, we get to see bigger picture of God. And this is what's happened to me throughout the week. And I got emotional in the middle of the night. Because this song, hymn, came to me, my mind. And as I look for this lyric online, I bump into the story about this hymn. It's written by Thomas Chisholm, 1923. And he was about, at the age of about 30-something age there, or maybe a little more, because he was born in 18-something. So maybe about 40s and 50s. The story goes like this. He became a Christian when he was 27. And because of his passion for God, he went out a lot of short-term trips, mission trips, and then he would write letters to his friend, close friend, brother, in Christ, William Runyon, who is a magician. Not known, well known. I mean, he was not well known at all. But they will exchange letters. Among the letters, they will write poems about God. And this happened to be one of the letters written, contained in it, this poem, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord, unto me. God has been faithful to Crosswood from the beginning. And not to mention rent-free for four years, which is unheard of. God led us each step. And even now, as we're a little afraid about going forward, God is faithful. And this is how I applied. I adapted for our Crossway church family. And I'm changing the old language to our language, keeping it the same. Great is your faithfulness, O God our Father. There is no shadow of turning with you. You never change your compassions, they fail not. As you have been, you forever will be. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. All Crossway has needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto us. What is God like to you this morning? What attributes come to your mind? And I ask you to start blessing the Lord. Start praising the Lord in your daily life. When you drive, when you wash the dishes, when you put down your kids, bless Him with your mouth. You could whisper when people are nearby you. When you're driving alone, you could sing and be loud, as loud as you can. But as you're doing that, God will bring the remembrance of Him and you in your intimate walk with Him. That you will no longer depend on the things, the externals only. Because you trust Him. Here's a third reason. We are to bless the Lord because blessing God leads us to our confidence in God. This is what's happening to David in this psalm. As he blessed the Lord for his benefits, six of them, and he moves on to community and thinking about God, who God is, and attributes of God, and suddenly going through this process gave him confidence going forward. Isn't that what we need? Are you afraid about your kids growing up in a certain way? And, you know, as we are thinking about our sons, especially the first one, are we afraid in any way going forward with this huge commitment we made with this lease agreement? Do we need to work hard to manipulate some people or try to get bodies in this room so that there will be more offerings? That's man's work. The God's lead, spiritual leading for us is continually find confidence in God. How do we do that? By blessing the Lord, thinking about His benefits and who God is. Look at verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His faith, His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. Did you notice that? It changed to the third person. He's actually telling others about His confidence. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. You see, as we're experiencing God's benefit and we remember them intentionally, imprint them on our hearts, spiritual hearts, then we will begin to see not only His attributes, but the confidence that comes from Him. So this is what it means to be spiritually mature, Crossway family. Our spiritual maturity will correlate with our confidence in God in going forward. Honestly, when I don't pray, I get worried about what will happen. You know, we have a first month free rent. That's God's blessing also too. So to this month, there is no even storage, you know, $50 per Sunday. We paid the ridiculously low amount. Not even that. We have zero payment. There's no $2,600 rent. But starting May, every month, we're going to pay $2,600. We used to pay $250 to $300 a month. So 10 times jump right there. Let's find confidence in God. It calls us to praise Him as well as we pray with our concerns. Fourth and last one. We are to bless the Lord because even in our own frailty and disillusionment, God sustains us by His love and sovereignty. Okay, life is not always full of His benefits in front of us. But at the same time, when you really look at the harsh reality of life, our life is so short and frail. And we know that our loved ones have cancer and fight with cancer. And then, you know, we're no longer young men and women. Some of you guys are still young. Verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it. It is gone. And it is gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. You know what He does? As He's going through this real test, harsh reality of life, and the frailty and brevity of life, He turns to God Himself, who is rock for us. And He finds two things there. Do you see it? Steadfast love. Covenant love. Hebrews 13, I will never forsake you and leave you. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you belong to Christ, God is your loving Abba. And Jesus will never forsake you and leave you. And steadfast love of God is upon you every single morning, a newer than the rising sun. Second, sovereignty of God. When you look at the instability of our life and bad economy, all the things, the unknown things that we have to worry about for our kids, God is sovereign. And as you're really thinking through this psalm, I want to challenge you to go back to Psalm 103 this coming week. Read it over. And think about it, whether it is true that you really truly believe God is sovereign and He has an everlasting, steadfast love towards you. If you meditate on that, and if you find validity in your heart, it is true. I guarantee you, when you look at the frailty of your life, the things that are not going well, you're still waiting for job to come, income to increase, and your family to be blossom, you'll be able to face it much better. And I want to close with this quote from none other than Charles Spurgeon. He writes, in 1872, which is still relevant to us, "Praise God, my brethren, as you are. Larks must be refrain from singing because they are not nightingales, nor must the sparrow refuse to chirp because he cannot emulate the linnet. Let every tree of Lord's planting praise the Lord. Clap your hands, you trees of the forest, while fruitful trees and all cedars join in his praise. Both young men and maidens, old men and children praise the name of the Lord, each one in his peculiar note, for you are all necessary to the perfect harmony. The Lord would not have you borrow your brother's tones, but use all that is within you, all that is peculiar to your own idiosyncrasy for his glory." Obviously, he's not talking about the ability to sing, but the fact that you sing with your heart. Speak well of him. Going back to his quote, "Spend all your strength, yes, every atom of it. Keep back nothing, but render all that is within you unto him. If all that is within you is the Lord's, all that is outside of you, which is yours, will also be his. All your body faculties will praise him, and the outer life will be all for God." Amen to that. We need to hear that. And as I know my time's up, as we're closing, there are three questions that I'd like us to reflect on. First one, in what ways am I convinced of my own need for a threefold call to bless the Lord? Number two, what keeps me from the blessing the Lord with my mouth today? What would I do about it? Number three, for what benefits can I bless the Lord today? Specific things. For what attributes of God will I bless the Lord this week?